So Father God, we do thank you for what Jesus has done for us. And as we think about your call now, we do pray that we will indeed offer up our lives in spirit and truth. Open our minds now so that we can hear your word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, my family were up in Southport visiting my parents, and we had a nice few days there. And if you know Southport, there's a bit of, well, it used to be a really posh shopping street, Lord Street. It's seen better days now, but we were walking down Lord Street, and we came across this wonderful old bookshop, with just a few books on the outside. We walked in, and it was a bit of an Aladdin's cave. 4 floors, and gradually we went up and up and up, and there right on the top floor were all these old Christian books. Well, I was a bit like a child in a sweetie shop, and poor Nicholas started getting a bit bored as I kept saying, just a couple more minutes, let me just have a look at this shelf as well. I came across this book, which I haven't yet read, but it's all about people from the last century who were called into the ministry, my call to the ministry, and there's various names of ministers from the last century. They're going to be talking about how God called them personally. And of course, for each one of them, their call, I know, is going to be individual. That's what will make the book so interesting. Today, we're hearing about the call of Abraham. And in many ways, the call of Abraham is unique. God called him in a unique way, for unique purposes. But if we just look at Genesis 12 that way, we're going to miss an awful lot, because actually Genesis 12 is far more than just a call to an individual at one point in time. This is the start of a huge turning point in the Bible. And in order for us to see that, I want to use a little definition of the kingdom of God. If we look at this definition of the kingdom of God, it will help us to unpack what really is going on in Genesis 12. And I'm getting my definition from this wonderful book called God's Big Picture by Vaughan Roberts. This is a lovely overview of the whole Bible. And the way Vaughan helps us to see how the whole Bible fits together is by using this definition of the kingdom of God. And I mean, do try and get hold of one of these books. They really are, it really is superb. But the definition of the kingdom of God that he uses is God's people in God's place, enjoying God's rule and blessing. And it's a picture of harmony. Now, before we get to Genesis chapter 12, I think it's good to backtrack and see how this works itself out right at the beginning. Creation as God intended. So if we go back to the beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapters 1 and 2, and I don't want to get bogged down whether you want to take this literally or symbolically. I really don't mind how you take that, but let's just look at it theologically. What is going on in Genesis 2? God has created this wonderful world, and he has the people. Who are God's people? Right at the beginning. God's people, of course, are Adam and Eve. We see Adam being a bit lonely, Eve is added, and he is delighted with his companion Eve. And there is harmony between them. This is God's people living in perfection with each other. It gets even better because they're given this beautiful place to live. The Garden of Eden is how it's pictured. So, what is God's place? It's the Garden of Eden. It's a place of abundance. It's a wonderful place. Now, in some ways, the whole world is God's, but we're focusing on Eden. And I think the idea is that Adam and Eve will have children, and as the human race grows, Eden will grow to cover the whole earth. This is God's intention in the beginning. And of course, in the Garden of Eden, God's there. He walks with the people. They enjoy his blessing. They can eat of all these wonderful, wonderful trees, this great fruit. It is perfect harmony of between people together, people and land, and people and God. Beautiful picture. God's good kingdom. There is a bit of God's rule there. Only one rule. Look, just don't, for your own protection, don't eat of this one tree. If you do, you're going to die and everything will go wrong. Well, we know the story. Genesis 3, unfortunately, it does all go wrong. So what goes wrong and how does that link to this definition? Well, we start off with God's people. After they decide, led astray by Satan, they eat from the tree they should not. Death is now in the world. They are doomed to die. But look at Adam and Eve. They start blaming each other. No longer are they living in harmony. By the time we get to the next chapter, Genesis chapter 4, they're killing each other. Cain kills Abel. We keep reading through the Bible. We get to Genesis 6, and humanity's wickedness is so great, God says, I'm going to bring a flood and destroy humanity, apart from just one family. But even after that, things still go from bad to worse. So God's people, it's bad news, isn't it? And then we come to God's place. Well, they're kicked out of God's place. No longer can they enter into Eden. They're outside of Eden. That's one picture that's used. The other picture used is that the ground is now cursed because of what the human beings have done. And so, well, we know this is a cursed creation, don't we? We only have to look around and see earthquakes and tidal waves, and it's difficult to get food out of the ground. So much for God's people, so much for God's place. God's rule and blessing, well, they've broken God's rule. They're a disobedient people. By the time we get to Genesis 11, humanity is shaking its fist at God, saying, we'll build a tower and make a name for ourselves. And God scatters humanity and confuses language. So, we now see rebellion against God. We see God's absence. Yes, God is there still somehow, but he's not relay that sort of close relationship with the people. He's not walking with the people. And his provision is now limited. Although we do see grace, he does give skins to human beings. But you can see what's gone wrong. God's people are at each other's throats. They're not enjoying the blessings of God's good place. There's language of curse. There's rebellion against God. And God just isn't living in harmony with his people anymore. And this is a very, very sad picture. And this brings us to chapter 11. Now, the reason I've spent so much time on this is to see how amazing Genesis chapter 12 is. So let's come to Genesis chapter 12, which is on page 13. It's worth having a look in the Bible. And as we come to these verses, let's just see how God's people, God's place, God's rule and blessing work out. Verse 1, the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and go, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. We have the promise of land, the promise of place. Look ahead to verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring, your descendants, I will give this land. And so starts the wonderful concept of a promised land. And as we continue reading through the Bible, we get into Exodus. It's a good land. It's going to be flowing with milk and honey. And although they then lose the land many years later, the promises continue. You will come back to the land and it will get even better. In fact, it will be transformed to be like Eden. So Ezekiel tells us. And we keep reading through the Bible, and finally, right at the end, we see the land is a new creation. God's perfect land is the whole world. It all starts here in Genesis 12, the promise of a land. God is going to restore his good place. And then we come to God's, well, let me read verses 2 and 3. God says to Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. There we have people. A nation, the idea is of people coming together, being united. So God is now promising a new people. It turns out to be the people of Israel in the Old Testament. And look, God is going to bless Abraham and bless his descendants. Blessing is back. God is going to be with his people. By the time we get to Exodus, law is being added. God's rule is going to be re-established. So things are looking on the up. There will be God's people again. The nation of Israel, Abraham's descendants. There will be a promised land. And God's rule and blessing are back. There will be God's presence. He will live amongst his people. In the Old Testament, it's pictured as the tabernacle. There will be blessing. There will be friendship. There will be law. And in case you're feeling a little bit left out, because I don't think we've got many Israelites here, look at the end of verse 3. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Right from the beginning, it's not a new idea in the New Testament that all nations are going to be included in the people of God. It's right here at the beginning. The intention is always for God to bless Israel and then all peoples. And we heard that in the second Bible reading. The gospel is first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. We are Gentiles, non-Jews. So we have all nations will be God's people. And this is what we see in the New Testament. God's word, the gospel goes out to all people. We're all included. And we can now know a relationship with God, blessing in our lives. The church, God's people, are called to live in harmony with one another. And one day we will be in God's perfect place, living for all eternity in harmony. Genesis 12 is a wonderful, wonderful chapter. God is stepping in and promising to reverse all that's gone wrong. All that was lost in Genesis 3 is going to be restored. That's what God is beginning to say, albeit in kind of embryo form. So let's just come to the fall of Abraham then and just think about Abraham. Because Abraham is called and he's got a choice. Go to the land I will show you and you'll get all of this blessing. Now what can Abraham do? He could stay exactly where he is. We read he's living in a place called Haran. He could stay in Haran. But what happens if he stays? He doesn't inherit the promised land. He doesn't get the blessing. He doesn't get all of these good things. But he decides to go. But remember, this is not only a personal call to Abraham. He is the father of many nations, but it all begins here. But our call is the same call. We're being called into the kingdom of God. And like Abraham, we have that choice. Will we respond to the call to come into the kingdom and get all this wonderful stuff? Or will we say no? I won't bother. At Christmas time, I often picture it like this. I say, you've got your Christmas tree and your present is underneath there. Come Christmas morning, what are you going to do? The present's there waiting for you. You've got a choice. You can ignore it or you can grab it and unwrap it and enjoy all the blessings of that present. Same here, God has these promises and they apply to all nations. Will we take hold of those promises, which means we have to heed the call, follow the example of Abraham. Abraham was told, leave that place and go on a journey to the land. Step out in faith. Leave behind what you know, because there's something wonderful. It's the same for us. We're called on a journey of faith. We have to step out in faith. But if we go and trust God, he will lead us, as he did with Abraham, to a glorious eternal land, living amongst a wonderful people, living in harmony with each other and under God. Will we follow Abraham's example? Respond to the call? That might be that I know loads of people here have responded to the call. If you have, and I think today would be a great day to respond to the call of God, receive these promises. They can only come about by the death of Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. But we see here that this is what's being promised to people who respond to the call of God. But I just want to say there's something very interesting in this passage. If we just look back a couple of verses to the end of chapter 11, we will hear about the father of Abraham in verse 31. Let me just read these verses. Terah took his son Abraham, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Now that's very interesting. Ur is a place, later on it's known as Babylon in the Bible. It's where Mesopotamia is, modern Iraq. This is where Abram's family were living. They had set out to go to Canaan, but they stopped halfway at Haran. And God had to shout again, and this time Abram went and Terah stayed behind. They had already set out and they settled, and I think this is a big challenge for us as Christians. God had called them out to Canaan, the promised land, and they stopped halfway and they settled. And I think us in our Christian journey do that so often. We set out, we become a Christian when we're young, we set out, we're full of excitement. Jesus has died for us, we've got all these promises that God will do for us, and we set off on our spiritual journey, and then we settle down. The demands of career take over, and we find that, you know, it's more important at a weekend to spend some extra time in the office than go to church. Or we might find that there's a family crisis, and so what happens? We settle down again. It's difficult having family crises, but sometimes all these challenges can make us settle. And it's what Abraham's family did. They settled in Haran. And my challenge really is, if you feel you have settled on your journey, well, just come back to these amazing promises of God and think, God is calling me to this. If I settle halfway, I don't get to the destination. God is still calling us to keep on journeying in faith. It's a journey that will take us all our lives till we get to the heavenly kingdom. Don't settle down. Whatever it is that's made you cease walking with the Lord, put that aside. Hear the call anew and walk into the kingdom. What wonderful promises. People living in a wonderful place, enjoying God's rule and blessing, his presence. So to summarize, Abraham was called to leave his old life and go to God's land. And responding means inheriting all those wonderful promises. But if we avoid the call, we all miss out. But stopping halfway will also mean we miss out. Friends, let's not miss out. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for your amazing love, stepping in to reverse all the effects of Genesis 3, all the effects of the fall. Thank you that you have promised us a heavenly kingdom, a great place, a perfect place where there's no more suffering, unity between people, no more war, and your presence and your blessing. Lord, as we journey with you, help us not to settle down, but to keep on responding to your call, so that we might inherit these amazing promises. Amen.